Welcome to Amplifying Leadership, a podcast where we talk leadership and all that goes with it, with our guest stories, wins, and even challenges. My name is Tara Lehman, and I'm a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. For our leadership friends, we love to support you through this podcast, tools, community, and more as part of our leadership services. To learn more about our Amplifying Leadership division, please visit amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Marie Mozai, owner of Marie Mozai Leading from the Heart, who is also a speaker and a coach. So let's start with sharing with our audience a little bit about how you came into leadership and developed that way.
You know, I think the leadership piece probably started when I was young and I didn't know it, which it's probably a good thing. Just coming into different opportunities where as a kid, you say, yes, I'll do this. Or I remember writing a essay on the golden rule and, you know, what that meant, which was being kind to others. And I think I won a an award. And I think that was like in first grade. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's funny to think about. And, you know, I think it was a savings bond. So who even has those, right? Yeah. But from that little place of leading from the heart, that's always kind of been my leadership mantra. It was just really about diversity, pulling people in, inclusivity. I know I had a sensitivity to like not wanting to leave somebody out as a child. And then all the way through from sports, being involved in teams and student government, and then into, you know, my career, which led me into working with teams all around the country in the spa and wellness industry, from union setups and union staff to brand new startups. So it was maybe a natural piece or a calling, I don't know, but I wanted to find the best in others and work together. That was something that was at the forefront in my life for as long as I can remember.
And I'm just going to touch briefly on something that you mentioned because it's not our topic today, but when it comes to like diversity and inclusion, it's always that when we're kids, we don't see as many differences from my experiences anyway, in talking with others. And so leadership can start pretty easily in childhood, right? So it's interesting that you brought that up.
I'm glad you mentioned that too, because in my book, there is a chapter on I talk about hospitality. But I remember when I was younger, I went to a Catholic school and I asked my best friend, Robin, I asked my parents if I could bring her home. And, you know, I think I was in second, third grade, and never mentioned to my dad and my mom that she was, you know, lived on the other side of town with, she was a Black family. Never said that. And later on, as I was older, my dad had said to me, you know what, when we opened the door and Robin came in, he said, you never mentioned that she was Black. And I was like, why would I? Yeah. I never saw that difference, right?
Exactly.
She was my friend and that's all that mattered. So yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So I know we're going to talk about servant leadership today, which is a great form of leadership and one that I'm also, that I do myself. But I want to talk a little bit about some wording that you gave me around servant leadership, which was servant motherhood as it relates to leadership. So why don't you help our audience understand what that means? And then we'll get back into the servant leadership conversation.
Well, I recently wrote a book and was tossing around titles for it, and then also the theme of the book as I started, and knowing that leadership was in my heart, but also the servant leadership part, I started to toss around that whole concept of, wow, servant motherhood, you know, what does that mean? And obviously that really resonated with me, because the thing that I wanted the most was to live from my heart for my child in a healthy, authentic relationship with her. Obviously, as moms, we want to put our kids' needs first, and we do, but I wanted to lead from my heart and not from any hurt. So that meant dealing with my own stuff first and seeking out counseling and moving through that. And then understanding what it would mean to be a servant mother, compassionate, setting an example, embracing opportunities that I felt comfortable to be honest and vulnerable so my child could be, and to provide a secure, loving environment, which would allow her to take risks without me jumping in, without me trying to fix it. You know, fall, scrape your knee and get up and let's talk about this or cry about this and move from there. So it also meant, which mothers, I think we have the best piece at loving our family, and then the challenge of putting ourselves at the bottom of the list. So servant motherhood doesn't mean that you're doing everything for everybody else. It's a we instead of a me. And it also means that I know how to take care of myself, which also displays a great role model piece for my child that, yeah, I have going to give of myself, but I need to fill my bucket somehow. So servant motherhood, I think, you know, when you say that to some people, they're like, I know I serve my family all the time. I was like, well, it's a little bit more than that. And I knew in my heart that I also wanted to raise a strong woman. My daughter, Kate, is my only, and compassionate and comfortable, but also standing up for herself, having convictions. And we need future servant leaders. And I'm proud to say that she's just a thriving young married woman. And I know that compassionate heart has come from just living through a servant leadership, you know, servant motherhood model.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you can now take the servant motherhood piece and give it to a new generation so they can be great servant leaders. So why don't we talk a little bit about why it is important for developing our leadership skills around servant leadership, especially because we have new leaders coming up and you know, as other people retire. So what are your thoughts around that?
This young, youthful generation right now, it's interesting. I just gave a talk last night and we talked about this whole need to the call to connection and how, you know, if we look at the mental health issues with our young people today, you know, they're just skyrocketing from, you know, the CDC reports on loneliness and hopelessness.
Yes.
Right. To live without hope is just, to me, is devastating. There, we also see there's a company that does research too, specifically with young people. Looking at their information, we see the same thing about the threats of mental illness. So my compassion and passion around this young generation is that I know that there's a leader within all of us, mm-hmm. even if it means we work out of silence and people are watching our movements and our direction and our actions. We have potential for somebody out there as the next president. You know, we can go mm-hmm. from one extreme to the other, but involving young people in a cause, a purpose, this Gen Z population wants to make a difference. That is one thing that is so clear.
Yes.
We need to give them a forum where they can move themselves away from the addiction of social media and the cell phone addiction, the smartphones, and uncover their passion, uncover their potential. It's just been crushed, and this desire to belong is just coming from an unhealthy place. And if we don't change anything or do anything for these young people, where they will end up leading from the hurt and not the heart. And they're going to be the future of our country. And I don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime. It may be a slow change for, mm-hmm. For me anyway. But I see the potential in what they have, and we just need to get back to listening and being present with each and every one of them.
I agree. And I think it's something to note too, that, you know, my daughter is a teenager and she's gone through high school during COVID. And, you know, that really affected their social being. So when you talk about connection and we talk about connecting with our teens, especially the younger generations, they're coming from a time, as you said, with smartphones in their hands or video games. And also now the newer ones, through a time when we couldn't socially connect. We weren't mm-hmm. allowed to go out for months on end and, you know, all those precautions that were in place. And so that sense of purpose that you mentioned really does start to disappear or come from a different place, which isn't always going to be great moving forward.
Mm-hmm. True.
What are your thoughts on leadership? So when we talk about being servant leaders, you know, we're a little bit, you know, older than those newer generations. How can we help as their leaders grow them into better leaders with regards to servant leadership so that they are coming from a sense of true purpose, not from a sense of purpose from who knows where?
Right. Great, great question. I think the first thing we have to do as adults or current leaders is to make the break to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So being present and sitting down and having a conversation means we really focus on the art of listening. And that seems so easy, but gosh, we're so bad at it.
It's so true. I was talking with someone with that the other day.
It's horrible. And it's about paying attention and listening, because somewhere in that conversation, especially with the young person, there's a dream. There's
yes.
an idea. There's a creativity that's just not been opened and launched yet. So if we listen enough to hold on to that and put it in our back pocket, it's something to come back to again and, you know, to have a conversation where you are present. There are no phones. There's no social media anywhere near us. We went out for ice cream the other night, and a father and son were sitting outside in beautiful evening, and both of them had their phones and there was no mm-hmm. conversation. I was like, such a great time to listen. So I think as leaders, we have to listen. We also have to look. And I used to say on my teams that I would encourage my supervisors and directors to use peripheral vision, which basically meant something is happening on the outside that maybe as a leader, we haven't paid direct attention to, but it catches our attention. It might be a person that's in the wrong place. Maybe I need to reposition them. Maybe a child that is doing their homework and starts doodling and you see these amazing drawings. So it's just showing up and paying attention and listening and having an open heart and an open, you know, open ears just means I want to connect with you. I value you. You can trust me. And then from there, it will grow. We just have to show up.
And I love that you mentioned having those meetings with employees even, because sometimes they don't know how to express themselves. So if we can have those even one-on-one talks with them and asking what their goals are to help them bring out that purpose that they maybe once had as young children that they lost somewhere during, you know, the smartphone years or the COVID years, and helping them bring that back out. You
That's
know, I think, yeah.
So true. And I have a friend who I work with, a colleague who is a psychologist in Chicago. And he says, you know, I talk to these young people all the time and they show up and they will give me a list of everything they've done, but they can't tell me who they are.
Yeah.
And I say to a lot of the youth that I work with, you need to know who you are or somebody's going to tell you what you're supposed to be.
Yes. 100%. And we have to really, as leaders now with the newer generations coming in, we have to also pay attention to reminding ourselves where they came from, because they didn't come from where we came from. You know, mm-hmm. they literally came through, you know, social medias or, you know, the phones or whatever. And we have to know our audience, so to speak, when it comes to being a leader. And with servant leadership, that is a big piece of it, is the listening and the communication and the connecting that you're talking about. What would you suggest as leaders that we do if we're noticing, you know, that our newer generations aren't really being, they don't want to be necessarily included? Maybe it's because they've never been asked to be, but how can we open up their shells into sharing with the older generations who they don't connect well with? Because we didn't grow up with that kind of stuff, right? What are
right.
your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we've come to this point too where we've hardened the hearts a little bit. We have a shield.
Yeah.
We kind of protect ourselves. So, you know, how do we lead from the heart, which to me, which is servant leadership? And as a leader, if I'm paying attention to a young person that's getting out of college, looking for job opportunity, or working on my team. Again, I think you said, Kara, which is perfect, which is to be able to sit and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And just listen. And I guess you can use the analogy of reading between the lines, but not only what they're saying, but what they're not saying and what they're not sharing. And it is one of those opportunities where if you hear something, maybe you create an opportunity for them, simple, which allows them to, you know, step out of that darkness a little bit and try something different. And I think it's all about quality connections, and it takes time. I totally realize that. And as managers and supervisors and directors and executives, you know, it's like your people are your business. So we just have to invest, because once it's just a cog in the wheel. And once it gets moving, we start to see more production. We see better attitudes and motivations higher. So you said it, which is just being able to sit and listen.
And I want to touch on something that you also brought up just now, which is about giving them something different to try. So maybe it's a project that you have and you're wanting them to come out of their shells a little bit, or maybe you know that they can do more and they've expressed interest, that we could give them that small special project just to see how it goes without pressure. Obviously, we don't want to pressure them, right? If we're giving them a special project. I think that's an important piece of servant leadership as well, is helping them to discover who they are, as you mentioned, but allowing them to grow in a way that allows them to come out of their shell, because not everybody's going to be, yeah, me, I'll do it. Right.
It's right. No, that's yeah. True. Well, and leadership often is associated with a me and an ego and my way or the highway. And if that's the case, there's no room for that peripheral vision to see possibilities. But if you're working with a team from a servant leadership perspective, that inclusivity is important, but it's also what you just said, which I love. And again, just reflecting back on that is, oh, I'm noticing something different. And that may be a one-on-one approach in a light conversation with somebody and said, you know, I'd like you to try this, which shows somebody that you're willing to invest. That you're not sending them off the deep end by themselves, that, you know, servant leadership is about a team effort. And that there's no failure, that we try, and if it's a trip and a fall, we pick up and keep going. But it's about taking a risk, and I think as servant leaders, we have to do that.
Exactly. And you're right, there's no I in team, and there's no I in leader. That's something that I've been saying recently. So yeah, I love that you're mentioning things like team building. It's very, very important.
Yeah.
Is there any concept of servant leadership that you feel is most important when we're talking about new leaders? I mean, listening, you mentioned, which 100%, that is probably number one. Is there any other piece of servant leadership for new leaders that maybe we need to pay more attention to?
I think one of my favorites is just the concept of creativity, which on both ends, for the leader and for the servant leader and for the potential to be leader. I think lots of times we are in a situation where we as a servant leader have to take a step in trying something new, taking that risk, and being creative, not only in the particular task or project, but also in how to engage the people that we are working with. So when I say that, I remember being in a situation where we were doing a renovation in the spa that I was working at, large destination. And I was like, the staff was excited, but it was also changed. So now what happened? So before the wall was destroyed that night, we talked about the future, where we were going. There was a few layoffs just for a short time. And I just bought paint and markers, and they just used the entire wall and made a graffiti wall out of it.
Oh, and very cool.
It was fun, but it was an expression for all their memories and all those things and fears of what was coming. But it was a release, and it was a great team event. And then the next morning we came in and, you know, just demolition started. So it was gone. But it was a release for them. And that was just a creative thing that I could sense the fear. And the excitement, and what happens, what if we get too big, what happens to my job, just all of those little things. So I think the creative piece of, you know, how to bring out the best in your team, which is important. And then I know we may be challenged by you know, the board of directors or, you know, upper management, like, what are you doing? But with confidence and conviction, and I know I'm including the team, I think it's important to try some of those new tactics or, you know, new tasks and just bring everybody along. And if it doesn't work, you're right in there with them and you just turn the corner, try again.
I love what you did with your team and giving them that sort of final, you know, this is a change, and it allows for change management to happen, I think, a little bit easier how you managed it, because it's like, let's get it out. Let's put it on that wall, you know, and the future is what's coming tomorrow. And so much fun too, I'll bet.
It was fun. And I, you know, it's been years, but I can remember, and I still have a visual picture of that wall. Some of that I would not repeat, but it was great. And it was such an outlet, a positive outlet for them.
Yeah, I love it. And I think all of us leaders can take a lesson from that. If there is major change happening, be creative on how you can get, you know, some closure to it. Because closure is something that sometimes you don't get. If you get that email that some people do that I don't like, that is like, oh, you're being laid off today, you know, that's not closure. That just raises more questions. But if we can be creative about it, maybe it's not always fun, but something that is a little bit more innovative about how we create closure for people, I think is great. That's amazing. So speaking about creativity, it's my understanding that you have this great cookie recipe you like to talk about in your book. So why do you include that when we're talking about leadership? I'm very curious.
Sure. So the book is called The Joy of Servant Motherhood, One Mom's Journey. And it's about my raising Kate. And what, as I was writing it, I was thinking to myself, and it came out on paper, that not only did I learn lessons, or I was teaching Kate lessons, but I've learned lessons from her. Mm-hmm. And all of those were life lessons for me as well. So each chapter is different, its own story. And yes, there's one chapter called Cookies and, you know, servant leadership in the making. And cookies have, well, first of all, true confession that cookies are my favorite. I'm half Italian, half Irish. So I'm in the kitchen and I love to bake. I love to be creative. You know, the wellness background brings in the healthy stuff as a nutritionist. But if I want chalk chip cookies, I am making chalk chip cookies.
How about her?
Yeah. So when we were younger, my mom made cookies at Christmas, covered up the aluminum cans, the coffee cans, and saved them with Christmas paper, packed the cans, and we took them out with my dad and delivered them. So I kind of, but I wasn't allowed in the kitchen. That was very much her control aspect of her life. And I think that this is my mom thing. So I watched, she hid cookies. I found every one of them. And I enjoyed baking cookies with Kate. And the story in the chapter is, even when she was little and I was getting ready to get books for her nap, I had just made a batch of chalk chip cookies and she loved to pour the chips in. And I was like, I'll be back, but we got to put it in the fridge. Can't make them now. The refrigerator was open when I came back. And here's
this
two and a half year old propped up with her fingers in the bowl. And so that was my cookie helper at the beginning of life. And she continued, and we continued to make cookies together. It came to be that every Christmas we would decorate. We still do to this day, no matter, Kate lives an hour and a half from me, but we get together, and no matter where I lived in the country, we decorated those cookies. And the leadership piece about that for me was, it became such a part of our lives that we have had friends over to decorate the cookies. We have invited those that were around the table that didn't have a place to go maybe during the Christmas season. It was something to do. The art of decorating them is a unique journey in itself, because we've definitely had people that come over and there's no rules, right? It's like, I'm not going to micromanage you. Here's the sprinkles and the frosting. And we've had the extreme with one gentleman who was alone who came over, and it was the big globs of frosting on the top. And my daughter was young and she goes, what are we going to do with these? And I was like, well, someone's going to eat them. Beam of a friend of ours who was an artist, and he decorated this cookie. And I was like, I can't eat this. It was so beautiful. I shellacked it and gave it to him as a Christmas ornament.
Oh, wow.
So it was conversation around the table, a good evening of ideas. It was a mess. There was no directions. Everyone got to express themselves. Mm-hmm. It's also a great example of leadership where the beginning of the project looks really strong. And when you get to the end, you need a little support. So
yes,
right. You can tell the cookies that were done at the very beginning and the last like 10, cause you're like, all right, I'm over this.
Yeah.
But we kind of cheer each other on and like, we're almost done. So it really has been an opportunity to share with other people, to laugh and cry and, you know, make any conversation around doing the cookies. And it's become something that people wait for every Christmas that we deliver still. They wait for those cookies. But there's also this opportunity that even in new environments, you know, I moved so many times because of the industry, that it was a way for us to gather community together too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of got a legacy and a story of its own, those cookies.
I remember at my corporate world, we used to, we had somebody lived in the country and he would used to get those giant puffball mushrooms.
Oh.
He brought them in, and as a team, because it's all about team building, it's about having a great lunch and having some fun, we made barbecued pizzas as them as the crust.
Fun.
It was so good. You know, it was amazing, yeah. Amazing team building thing. It was creative. It was new. It was different. I mean, it was amazing. So thank you for sharing that story.
Oh,
there's always something that's about team building somewhere, right?
Right. That's right.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, thank you for being on the show. Is there a key takeaway that you want to share with our audience today?
Yes. And I think that just comes from the servant leadership piece of leading with the heart, is to just show up and pay attention. And it's a desperate situation, I feel, right now, that we mm-hmm. as leaders need to pay attention to, on the power of connection mm-hmm. and how we do that, which means that we need to disconnect in order to connect. We don't realize the addiction that we have to, you know, our phones and constantly working. And when we do make an appointment with somebody, or we do want to talk to somebody, the phone is off, the attention is directed towards the individual, and we speak less and listen more.
Love it. Two ears, one mouth, right?
Right. That's right. That is true.
Thank you so much for a great conversation today, Marie. I greatly appreciate you being on the show. So can you let us know if anybody in our audience wanted to get a hold of you, how they can find you online, or maybe learn more about that recipe?
Sure. You can find me at Marie Mozai. If you just go to mariemozai.com, that's my website. I am on LinkedIn under Marie Mozai, and also on Facebook and Instagram. And I have a contact form on my website if someone wants to reach out. So thank you for that.
Great. And her last name, so everybody knows, is spelled Mozzzi.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Tara.
A big thank you to our listeners, too. We both do hope that you're taking away some points and perhaps a cookie recipe to help you grow on your leadership path. If you are a leader or someone who does want to grow into leadership, who knows that support and developing your skills are the way to move forward, then check out all of our leadership services and our community at amplifyingleadership.ca. For our social media, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn as Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, or on YouTube as the handle Twin Life Coaching. Until next time, everybody, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.